We're going to get started, and my name is Lene Levy-Storms, and I'm on the ISC Steering Committee and participated in organizing this session with the intent of bringing components together and cross-collaboratively presenting on an intersectional topic. Okay, so I really am glad to see you here today, and we have several great presentations. Without further ado, I will go ahead and get started. The title of the session is Protecting the Health of Rural and Underserved Populations, Collaboration Among APHA Components. And our very first speaker is Deborah Ingram, and the title of her talk is Construction of the NCHS Urban-Rural Classification Scheme for Counties, a tool for examining health in rural and non-rural areas. Welcome. Thanks.
Okay, I have no disclosures as far as APHA goes, though I will disclose that I'm going to be promoting the use of our scheme to study urban-rural health differences and encouraging people to study urban-rural health differences. In this talk, I'm not going to give you a history of urban-rural health differences, but I am going to cover some of the current differences that we see. I will talk a little bit about measurement techniques. I will describe the NCHS scheme and construction of the 2013 scheme, and then I'll show you a bunch of data examples. So currently, some of the three patterns that we see in urban-rural health differences, there are three specific ones. One is that residents of rural areas tend to fare worse on many health measures than residents of more urban areas. Another important difference we see is that residents of the centers of very large metropolitan areas, generally large cities of a million or more, fare worse than the residents of the suburbs of those cities. And finally, the other difference is that the residents of the suburbs of those very large cities tend to fare better than residents at any other urbanization level. Oh, I guess I got a little mixed up there. Let's go back. I meant to talk about terminology. As probably most of you know, terminology can get a little confusing because metropolitan, non-metropolitan, rural, and urban have both a colloquial and colloquial and a technical usage. When used in common language, metropolitan and urban are used interchangeably and bring to mind either a very densely settled population such as large cities or smaller cities. Rural and non-metropolitan are also used interchangeably and usually bring to mind small towns or farmland, things like that. But both of these, the metropolitan, non-metropolitan, when used in the context of the OMB's metropolitan, non-metropolitan classification for counties, has a very technical and specific meaning. And the urban and rural terms, when used in the context of the Census Bureau's urban and rural classification scheme for census tracts, also have very specific and technical meanings. In this talk, when I use the terms urban and rural, I'm going to be using them in common usage in just descriptive manner and will not be referring to the Census Bureau classification. When I use metro and non-metro, I will be referring to the OMB classification. Okay, we've done that one, now we're on to this one. All right, so most urban-rural classification schemes use the county as their building block. There are a number of reasons for this, the primary one being that county is the primary political unit in most of the U.S., with the exception of New England and Louisiana, and it has both programmatic importance at both the federal and state level. It also has the advantage that the county boundaries do not change a lot, whereas the boundaries of some other areas do. And finally, health data, socioeconomic data, demographic data, are often readily available at the county level, whereas they are not readily available at the sub-county level. All right, the Office of Management and Budget's Metropolitan, Non-Metropolitan Classification Scheme has been around for a long time and has been used very frequently to do very crude sort of assessments of urban-rural health differences and urban-rural differences of various types. It classifies counties as metropolitan and non-metropolitan using published standards. They're revised every 10 years right before the census, and they assign counties either to metropolitan or non-metropolitan. Metropolitan counties are those that are assigned to a metropolitan statistical area, which is an area that consists of a very densely settled nucleus of 50,000 or more people, surrounded by territory that's less densely settled and that's linked to that core through commuting. Any county not assigned to a metropolitan statistical area is dumped into the non-metropolitan category. Beginning with the 2000 census, OMB created a new statistical area called the Micropolitan Statistical Area, which is a mini version of the MSA and has a nucleus of 10,000 to 49,999. Only non-metropolitan counties can be used to form a micropolitan statistical area. And any county that non-metropolitan county that doesn't end up in a micropolitan statistical area ends up in the remainder grouping, which is called non-core. The Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service has also produced urban-rural classification schemes for some time. Their two most commonly used schemes are the Rural-Urban Continuum Codes and the Urban Influence Codes. Both of these schemes are county-based, and both use the Office of Management and Budget's metropolitan non-metropolitan system as their basis. Both of these schemes have a focus on the rural end of things. They have three categories for the Rural-Urban Continuum Code, metropolitan categories, and two metropolitan categories for the Urban Influence Codes, but they have a larger number of categories for the non-metros. 10 minutes? Okay. There's some disadvantages to using these systems for looking at urban-rural health. One is that none of these systems have an adequate representation for the urban categories. None of them differentiate between the large central city counties of large metro areas and the fringe counties, so we miss some important health differences. And for the two USDA classifications, they have so many non-metro categories that it's very hard to find data that has sufficient numbers to support all of those categories. The NCHS scheme has six categories, four metropolitan and two non-metropolitan, and we've been producing it for some time. And after the 2000 OMB redo of the metro, non-metro, we completely redid our system. We evaluated all the different levels to determine if we should have more levels, fewer levels, we should use different methods to differentiate those levels, and we had to come up with new rules for separating the large central metro counties from the large fringe metro counties. We used discriminant model analysis and various other techniques to try to determine the most effective categorization for the scheme and looked at a lot of health examples to try to pinpoint what we should do. This is a schematic of our scheme. We start with all of the counties in the U.S. We use the OMB metro-non-metro classification to divide them into metropolitan and non-metropolitan. And then we further subdivide the non-metropolitan into just two categories, micropolitan and non-core. That's based on the OMB breakdown. We subdivide the metropolitan counties into large metro, medium metro, and small metro based on the population size of the MSA. 1 million or more for large, 250,000 up to 1 million for medium, and under 250,000 for small. Then we further subdivide the large metro category into the large central and large fringe. That subdivision is done based on the following rules. Any large metro county which contains all of the principal city of the MSA is central. If it's completely contained within the largest principal city of the MSA, it's central, or if it contains at least 250,000 population of any principal city of the MSA, it's central. Otherwise, it's fringe. This is a table that shows some of the characteristics. Some of the characteristics of the cities that we have used to help us differentiate them. We've done discriminant model. We've done discriminant model analyses using socioeconomic, settlement density, and population variables to assess whether these two types of areas are still sufficiently different to warrant their continued separation and to see if the rules that we have adequately differentiate them, and we have shown that they do. This table just shows the 25th percentile, 50th percentile, and 75th percentile for the large fringe in the large central counties on these various variables to show you that they do still separate pretty nicely, particularly for the settlement density and the demographic variables. This table shows you the distribution of the counties across the six categories of the scheme. A little over a third of them are in the metropolitan categories. A little over under two-thirds are in the non-met categories. Pretty much equal distribution into the fringe, medium, and small in terms of numbers of counties. U.S. population, most of the U.S. population resides in metropolitan counties, 85% currently, with 30% residing in the large central counties and 25% residing in the large fringe, which is another reason why it's important to be able to separate those two types of counties. Okay, this is a map that just shows the distribution. You can see how mixed up everything is, and you can see the red is the large central metro, the orange circles around them are their surrounding suburbs. Counties in the east are obviously much smaller, counties in the west are large, and that leads to lots of problems in terms of you've got a lot of urban areas within a metro county and rural areas as well, and vice versa. Okay, I'm going to start running through data examples now. We'll start with some mortality data examples. The mortality system is a great system to use to look at health differences because you have data from all counties in the U.S. This shows infant mortality between 2010 and 12. Large Central is on the left, on the right, left, and Non-Core is on the right. Okay, and you can see that the lowest rate is in the large fringe counties, highest rate is in the Non-Core. This is all-cause mortality, 25 to 64. Again, lowest rate is in the fringe. You've got higher rates in the central, increasing rates up to the non-core. This all-cause mortality, 65 and plus. This is a little different pattern. The lowest rates are in the large central, higher rates in the fringe, and increasing up to the non-core, to the non-metropolitan. Similar rates in the micropolitan and non-core in this case. This motor vehicle, markedly increasing from the central all the way up to the non-core. I'm showing it for two different periods, 2005 to 7, 2010 to 12. And as you can see, there's been a dramatic decrease in motor vehicle accident mortality over that time period. Homicide, this is one of those cases where there's huge differences between the large central and the other metropolitan areas, including the large fringe. Another reason not to mix those two. I'm showing it again for two periods. The only period where you only group where you see a difference in the two periods is large central. COPD for 55 and above, again increasing rates from large central up to the non-core, and differences for males and females, larger differences between males and females in the non-core. Stroke trends between 99 and 2012 decreased for all areas about 40%. They've decreased. So similar decreases, you can see the top two lines are the two non-metropolitan categories. The bottom two lines are large central and large fringe. The large central and large fringe were a little bit separated in 99. They're not so much in 2012. And this is cold-related mortality by region. The only thing I'm going to point out here, given I'm almost out of time, is that you can see that dark blue line on the far right from the non-core. Huge difference between that group and all the other groups. Okay. NHIS, National Health Interview Survey, is the other survey that we like to use when we look at health differences by urbanization level because, again, we've got pretty good representation, even though it's a sample, across all of the six categories. This is fair to poor health status, lowest in the fringe. It's in two different periods, pretty similar across the periods, highest in the non-core. This is current smoking behavior. Lowest in the central metro, believe it or not, increasing as you go towards non-core. Quite a difference between the percentage of persons 18 to 64 who smoke in the non-core and the percentage smoke in the central metro. This is edentulism.
That's right.
Total tooth loss, lowest in the fringe, not surprising, higher in the central, and then higher as you go towards non-metropolitan. And again, considerable differences between the non-met and the lowest in the fringe. This is lack of health insurance coverage, lowest in the fringe. We're showing it for two different periods. One interesting thing here is that the percentages with non-covered insurance are similar in all the different urbanization levels except for fringe and non-core, where they've both gone up in the later period. Oh, yes, this is my last picture. This shows the percentage of people who use the Internet to access health data in the past 12 months. The highest percent is in the fringe counties, lower percents in the central, medium, and small. Those are similar, and then lower yet in the micropolitan, and lower still in the non-core. To summarize quickly, we designed our urban rural classification scheme to look at urban-rural health differences across the entire spectrum. We were trying to make sure that we teased out differences between the central and fringe counties in large metropolitan areas. We have only two categories for the non-metropolitan because we found that for most of our data sets, we simply didn't have enough numbers to support additional categories. That said, if you had additional data, you could use additional non-metropolitan categories pulled from one of the Economic Research Service classifications and combine it with our metro categories to get a good representation of the metro and more detailed representation of the non-metro. And finally, accessing the urban rural classification scheme. There are books in the back, which I hope you'll take, that are the two reports that are listed here, one that covered the 1990 and 2006 schemes, and one that covers the one that just came out now, which is in the update of the 2006 scheme. You can also download both the reports and data files with the schemes from our internet. And if you use CDC Wonder and go to the compressed mortality file on CDC Wonder, both urban rural schemes are available for use with the mortality data. Thank you.